All right. Much like the Raptors, we're back.
Yes, sir. And it's funny, we didn't like record when they were like really in the depths of hell, like that Miami win has us feeling good again. So it's like we go from like, yeah, we're winning all the time to yeah, things are looking kind of up for the Raptors again. Hi guys.
There's a little dark spell in there. Oh yeah, welcome to Game Six.
Welcome to Game Six.
It's a the podcast about the Toronto Raptors. By Gage and Anthony.
Yeah. I'm Gage, in case you're wondering.
And I'm also Gage.
Yeah, we're both Gages somehow. No more silly stuff.
Really?
No more silly stuff on this podcast. We need to talk about the Toronto Raptors, who just beat the Miami Heat. Just
Which also, in our last episode, that was the team you said you want us to see
I did
face.
want to see us face that, and like it
No
was a great
hero.
game. It felt like two teams that were pretty comparably talented. I would not be surprised if like we're fifth and sixth or sixth and seventh in the East at the end of the season. Yeah, I like that Miami team too. I have a hard time rooting against them. I really like Norm. I really like Davion Mitchell, even though he only played like what, like 50 games for us.
I can't believe you didn't bring up Bam. That was your guy.
I like Bam. Bam's cool. Bam let me down
It's because
in a
you
real
were
way.
expecting him to jump.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more from him, unfortunately. Unlike the Raptors, where all of them have blown away my expectations, each and every single one of them, Bam fell a little bit short.
Oh, a lot of
Yeah, they kind of have. Yeah, that's fair. But today, we're going to be setting more expectations for them.
Yeah.
Fresh, new expectations. Because we, you
We
know,
have written letters to Santa.
yeah, we made a list.
We checked it
Yeah,
twice.
we checked it twice, and it's going to him. It's going right up to the North Pole to Saint Nick. And now that I'm thinking about it, none of the things that I actually put on my list are gonna be like can happen by Christmas. A lot of them are kind of long term. So like
Oh, really?
Santa's gotta work on these, you
Ours are
know?
so different.
Is
Ours
are
are
yours
so
all like before Christmas? Like it's all I'm glad
like
that they're
I think
different.
all of mine could happen right after Christmas.
Oh, okay. No, I don't think any of mine can happen by Christmas. Well, some of them are like very like this guy needs to like slowly switch things around. We also did two general NBA wishes.
Yes, we did.
And do you, let's start with the Raptors and then we'll do the general
I
NBA.
agree.
You get to pick the first player that you want to do a wish for, and then I'll give my wish afterwards.
Okay. I feel like we let's start with the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
While the people
Ochai
Ochai is
Agbaji.
with four other guys in one line, and they all get the same wish.
Okay.
I
What's
need Scotty. Actually, this one's so critical. Yeah, fine. I want Scotty to keep the aggression up when he's having a bad night. You never see Scotty go 2 for 20. Like if he's 1 for 6, it feels like he just stops like trying to score.
I
And
feel that.
that's something that I wish. Like you can have like an off night, but that's like part of being the guy on the team is like fight through it. Like he'll start passing more, which like is fine and stuff, but like I just want to see him keep up that aggression when he's
Yeah,
having an off night.
I totally agree. And the funny thing is his defensive intensity and aggression seems to never wane. Like it doesn't really matter what's happening on the offensive end. He's fucking locking in defensively. But yeah, I know I get that. Some nights it's like he seems to lose his confidence pretty quickly. And for somebody like it's different when you're a jump shooter versus when you're more of a big physical guy like him. When you're a jump shooter, like some nights it's just not gonna happen. But when you're Scottie Barnes and like you're big, you're physical, you get a star's whistle. They can't really double you because you're pretty good at finding open guys. Like, just freaking take it to the hole. And like,
And then sometimes, like, he will have those times where he does just like he's having a bad night and then he takes to the hole and then maybe his shot gets blocked and it's like, oh man, for the next like quarter, he's not even gonna try to drive.
I know. And then it's like, all right, let's fucking another possession where we run around for 16
Doing
seconds, get Brandon Ingram to
handoffs.
get a steal, and then give it to him for the last 8 seconds to just freaking get some contested mid-range. Great. Enough about Ingram though. I got my wish for Scottie Barnes, and that is all NBA for Scottie Barnes.
Ooh.
I think
Because All-Star is like a lock at this point.
yeah, just with how soon it is and how the season's gone so far, you have to think our record's not going to be bad enough to kind of prohibit him from that in a way that like all NBA, like we kind of need to be a little bit better than we are now. I don't think he can make it if we're in the plan. And I think, as weird as it is, I think he needs to get from 19.5 to 20 points per game. And you might be like, oh, 0.5 points per game, that's nothing. But I'm telling you, people who vote on this shit care about the milestone numbers. Like
100%.
there's a big difference between a player who puts up 20, 10, and 10 and somebody who even puts up like 20, 16, and 8. Like, mm-hmm. like just the triple-double moniker or just the 20 points per game moniker. The round number. I feel like it changes perceptions completely.
Yeah, totally. Like, I just saw a stat on there's only one MVP who averaged less than 20 points. Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I do know who it is. Is it Wes Unseld?
No, way later than that.
He's recent. It's recent?
Not like in our... Like, he's retired now.
Oh. First of all, Wes Unseld certainly did not average over 20. So this has got to be like a last 50 years thing. But it's Magic Johnson then.
No, Steve Nash.
It's Steve... Oh, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense.
But yeah, like exactly. But he's like 18 and a half, 19. It's like he's right there. But like exactly like you're saying, the 20 just looks so much prettier.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, if he gets up to 20 points per game, I think I'd be surprised if he doesn't make an all defensive team. I think if we get a top 10 defense by the end of the season as a team, I think that he could even get a first team all defense, but I do think that they factor in team defense a little bit, and so like your team has to be pretty good, unless you're like a Victor Wembanyama, which I mean his team defense is never going to be bad, but you have to be like that kind of outstanding defensive player to be a first team all defense and not have a great team defense.
All defense is hard though, because there's obviously like there's only two teams, just 10 spots versus 15.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think like half of OKC might make.
Scotty Barnes, but like Scotty Barnes would be the best defensive player on OKC. And like, he might not get like the love because he might not get watched like OKC does. But like, there's nobody on OKC. Like, maybe Caruso, but Caruso plays 20 minutes. So it's just 36 minutes of high level defense. Right. Or like, somebody like Lou Dort. Like, realistically, I'd probably rather have Scotty for the full versatility. I like Lou Dort as a more like in his chair, like, on somebody physical guy. Scotty, like, every single game, if you watch the Raptors, there will come a time when we're up two or the game is tied and there's like 2 minutes left and the other team gets a free breakaway and you're like, oh fuck, and he gets a chase down block.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he does it, because it's not like he gets a ton of chase down blocks at other times in the game, but last 2 minutes I swear he averages one per game. Like, he gets it all the time. Defender. Yeah, he's a clutch defender. So that's my I wanted to make all NBA.
Very nice.
For Christmas. And by for Christmas, I mean by April, when that's decided.
When that's decided. You pick the next player. You go back to back. We'll do snake draft.
We'll do RJ Barrett next.
Okay.
For RJ Barrett, my Christmas wish for him, and this is one that could actually happen before Christmas, I want him to be the same after his injury. Mm. Like, he was so good to start the year, and he looked like probably the most impactful on winning that he's been since he came to our team. Yeah. He's kind of always looked good, but before it was kind of like, okay, you're putting up your 20-25, but like, we're losing every game, who cares? Right. And it's not that efficient, who cares? And like, the guys around you aren't performing that well. Like, you're in lineups, you're running in a lineup where it's like Shed, Dick, Barrett, pick two, a power forward and a center. Yeah. That's not like Scotty from last year. Like, he was running in garbage lineups, or he's obviously going to score. And then this year he's running with like pretty talented offensive players and was still getting his buckets. So I want him to keep that up when he comes back from his injury. I don't want to see him come back and then kind of fall back into some average, below average, what he kind of looked like before, where he wasn't impacting winning in the same way.
That's a good point. It's very interesting you say that. I'm going to go back to back with it.
Mm-hmm.
So for RJ, he's one of my few ones that's like very little notes. I just want him to come back healthy. I thought... Like, you are right, looking at it like last year, but I was just looking at it from like this year's perspective, and he's been awesome all year. And like, when we started sliding was when he got hurt. So for him, all I had to say was come back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
My next one's Emmanuel Quickly. His is come back healthy and like you ended, not like you started. So it's kind of similar to what you're saying about RJ, like come back and like be the same. But like, it felt like Quickly was just getting like accustomed, like he was starting to like maybe figure out, I don't know if it's figure out Brandon Ingram or just like the new team as a whole, but like he was having a terrible start to the year and then like really turned around, really figured it out, and I really hope that these injuries aren't gonna set him back.
My Quickly Christmas wish was to stay healthy to the rest of the year, because I think the last thing he was out with was an illness. It wasn't like a injury. Oh, really? Yeah, okay. It was just an illness, so it's not, hopefully, not a big deal, although who knows with the Chris S. Porzingis news, some illnesses are worse than others, apparently.
Right.
But yeah, I want a sample size of him playing in a normal situation with our team, so we can take stock of, like, is quickly going to be enough long term, or do we need to pull the trigger now on a LaMelo Ball or on a Trae Young or on a Ja Morant? Because there's lots of high level point guards who are out there and available to get, and Quickly's contract would get you a lot of the way there in a trade. You add a Poeltl or you add a Barrett to get to whatever number you need there. But you can't make like a decision like that until you get a month of Quickly playing with the other guys on the team all the time. Yeah. And so I want him to stay healthy so I can see whether we have to trade him or not.
He's missed. He doesn't feel like he's like a great passer, but like he the offense sucks kind of when he's not playing.
Yeah, and he's got that like little like floater that he can get to. It doesn't really feel like anybody else on our team is that willing of a passer and has that automatic of a move to get to.
Right.
Like where they can feasibly late shot clock do either.
Right.
Like it kind of feels like
Brandon's always gonna shoot.
Yeah. Or like RJ's always gonna shoot. Right. Or like Scotty doesn't really have like a go-to move at the end that you can be like, all right, he's got the ball with 3 seconds left. Like he can do something for you other than just putting his head down, which he doesn't do often enough, as I said before. So you cheated and picked somebody as the third guy, so I think it's back to me on the snake draft because you took Quickly, and I'm gonna go to Brandon Ingram. And my Christmas wish for him is less isolation plays. It's cool, and he's a good tough shot maker, and I like how late in shot clocks we have a guy who we can give the ball to if things go bad, and he can like figure something out for us. But any plays where he is down on like the nail or even lower than that, and he is like trying to get a steal with his arm up for like the first 10 seconds, and then they give him the ball, and then he's isolated for the next 10, and sometimes they steal it, is a bad play. That's a bad play that we run in our offense like 3 times a quarter, I would say.
True, BII, so.
And like, why do we go to that? Like, we have so many good offensive players. I get it, like late in the clock, sure. And like, if he's feeling it on a heater, sure.
He's been like the only one who can make a basket. And I feel like those are the ones like we really lean on those plays.
Yeah. I just don't like it. I just think it's too... I don't like cutting four guys out of your offense in that percentage of the game, because I just think it's not conducive to getting them to turn around when they're having a bad game or to figure something out. So I want less ISOs from Brandon Ingram.
Interesting. Brandon Ingram's is by far the nicest son I have. My wish to Santa for Brandon Ingram is that he enjoys his time with his family. No notes.
Nice.
I thought we were like, even when we were struggling, it was always like, well, it's not Ingram's fault. Like, he, yeah, like for example, like in the play-in game that we saw live, NBA Cup game that we saw live, like literally everyone was so bad except him. Like, he was just the only one who could make shots. So I understand your time about, and it, especially when we're forcing it to him, it really does suck because there are so many times like, he is asking for it. He finally gets it. And then he gets like instantly doubled, has to give it up. And it's like, well, we just wasted like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But like, we needed it. We needed it. And like, there, when no one else is scoring, it feels like he always comes through.
It's, I don't even think it's that much of a criticism on Ingram and what he can or he can't do for me. Like, because I do think that, like, giving it to him and letting him clear out, like, is in his skill set. I think it's more of a criticism on Darko. Like, be more creative in your offense. I love plays that end in Ingram, but they, like, if it's the same move every time. And as I say, it's, like, kind of the same spot, and I get he wants it on his spots, but it's, like, I just don't. It's so obvious what we're doing when we run those plays.
9 sets of eyes all looking at
him. Yeah, and like, and that's how the double comes so quick.
Right.
And like, if you run a play, we don't run off-ball stuff to free him up, and maybe he doesn't want to run around. But like, there's gotta be better ways. It is weird
that he's been getting gassed. Like, he's like tired.
Yeah, well, I think it is just like, he hasn't played a full season in a little bit. Yeah, fair. I don't know if you saw the report on him. One last thing on Brandon Ingram. But he said that apparently, when he was up for a trade last trade deadline, he wanted to only come to the Raptors. It was kind of like, I just want to go there.
Wow. Yeah. I did not see that. That's really dope.
Yeah, which is always good to hear, because I feel like we always have angst as Toronto sports fans of like, oh, people don't like playing here. Nobody wants to come here. Like, Vince Carter left pretty quickly, and then like Chris Bosh left pretty quickly, and then Kawhi, we did literally everything for him, and he still did not want to stay. And apparently,
it also,
he wasn't even close to wanting to stay, right, from what Fred was saying on a recent podcast. Yep. So,
Fred, yeah, he was saying the whole time, like, I don't know why they traded for me. Like, yeah. I'm not staying.
Still, we still won that trade. But like, yeah.
Yeah, true. We did. So I just did Brandon. Oh, you started the Brandon, right? So yeah. I'll go. All right. Mine is going to be about Jakob. Honestly, I tempered it a little bit. I don't need Jakob Poeltl to be like Lou Dort out there, but like, just don't let Biggs blow by you too. Like, everyone blows by. Like, oh my God. There's just like anyone with any sort of speed or skill, like, just flies right by him, especially if, like, the big can shoot and he has to be out on the line. Like, he just, like, gets himself out of the play and he can't really, like, recover to it and just, like, sets our team. It makes it so hard for our team. And then, like, because we'll always rotate, too. But then it ends up with him having to run to some three-point shooter and he's so late on the contest. Like, he's not even really contesting.
Yeah.
So it's, like, just at least please contain the bigs.
I thought he was flat out unplayable anytime his minutes were matched up with Katz.
Yeah, Katz is the worst of it.
Yeah, and I mean, Katz's the best shooting center of all time, but it's like, dude, Jakob, like, you're going to be getting paid a lot of money pretty soon. Right. You shouldn't have that glaring of a hole in your game. My thing for Jakob was to return to last season's form. I don't need anything crazy either. Right. I just want you to look healthy and mobile and, like, it's everything with him, it feels like, right now. Like, it feels like his defense has fallen off, and so his rebounding's kind of fallen off. And since his rebounding's fallen off, his offensive rebounding's fallen off. And that's just less points for him, because he's less efficient, because, like, we're not going to run sets to get him buckets.
Of course.
And so now that we're not running sets, it feels like those little hook shots aren't falling. Yeah. And then with the little hook shots not falling, people can stay off him on defense, so his playmaking's worse. And it feels like it's just snowballing and snowballing and snowballing, and it's like, let's push the rock back up the hill. You know?
I think I don't know if it was the Miami game or some other game, but he missed that, like, where he gets, like, on maybe a pick and roll or something. He gets, like, space and he does the running layup, and it kind of looks like he's fast, but it's like, he never misses those. And he would just, like, had, like, a brick on one of those that I'd literally never seen before. And I'm like, oh, something's off.
Yeah, it looks bad. And there's games, like, in that Knicks game, he looked despondent in the second half. Like, you could have told me he played 0 minutes in the second half, and I would have been like, no, you're wrong, because he looked like ass every time he was out there. And, like, Mitchell Robinson grabbed 58 offensive boards over him. Mitchell Robinson's the best offensive rebounding center in the league, just flat out. He just is. He grabs offensive rebounds over literally everyone.
Right.
But shoots 20% at the line. I don't know why we didn't go to Hakka Robinson earlier in that game. Because we did go to it live. So we got to see it live, which is cool. Because he sucks at free throw shooting. But
and he was even bad for his standards.
Yeah.
He was like 1-for-8.
Yeah. Which, would bring down his 20%. Because that's like a 12%. Bad. Whatever. Like, honestly, he looked better than Jakob Poeltl, even shooting 1-for-8 from the line. So, Jakob, you need to be okay again.
Yep.
I think you picked Poeltl.
Yeah,
so I'm going to pick Jamal Shedd. And my Jamal Shedd Christmas wish is I want him to go back into his normal role. It feels like
off the bench?
Yeah, as like a pure off the bench guy, like only 18-ish minutes a game. Like, we saw what he looked like when Quickley wasn't there and he was the starting point guard. And God bless him, he tried to be Quickley and he jacked up 9 or 10 threes and he hit like one of those. Yeah. And like, I feel like anytime towards the end of last season when we tried to start him a point guard, this year when we tried to start him a point guard, like, he'll put up the shots and he's a good playmaker, but it's bad. Like, he's not even close to an NBA starting point guard.
Right.
And when he's in a pure bench role, it looks good. He can run the offense, he can hit a shot every once in a while, but it's pretty clear that, like, you need to pick and choose your spots with him to have him at his most effective, and when you overextend him, things get bad really, really quick.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. My wish is that he'd be a better shooter. It's exactly that. Like, we already aren't good as a team, and you're an undersized guard. Like, you need to be able to shoot if you want to, like, be, like, a long-term piece for our team. We, like, it's not like we have, like, so many, like, good shooters that we could have, like, I don't know, like, maybe TJ McConnell or something, like, a point guard that doesn't really shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the modern NBA, like, you just can't be a starting point guard if you can't shoot. And, like, that's just one part of his game that is just so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's, he needs to, I feel like it's just less shots. Like, he needs to not have to force it in lineups. There shouldn't be lineups where he needs to be a scorer. There can be lineups where he needs to be a playmaker as like a secondary or a tertiary playmaker, but there can't be lineups where he is one of the first two offensive dudes out there.
Right.
And when Quickley's out, like, maybe we got to bring in like another point guard or something, because like, Shed cannot start. He can't play more than 20-ish minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's only the second season.
Yeah, of course.
First 20 games of the second season. But
he's
as of right now.
For a second round pick, he's freaking fantastic. Yeah. What a great find. But yeah, and as I said, when he plays in those bench minutes, he looks great. So yeah, that's my Jamal Shedd thoughts. Sorry, Jamal. I still love you, but you need a lower role.
Yep. And I think that lower role might lead to Grady keeping his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is, like, in the Miami game was, like, the first game I've seen in a really long time where, like, he's, like, just trying. And I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing. Like, he's been trying more on defense. Like, he's been, like, getting steals and deflections and stuff. But it almost feels like he's just doing it so that way, like, it's almost like he's not labeled as a bad defender. Like, it doesn't lead towards meaningful plays. And it's like, yeah, if you knock it out of the guy's hand and the guy still has the ball and then he blows by you, it's like it didn't matter that you knocked it out of his hand. But then, like, because that stuff happens on the offensive end, like, it would just be shot fake into maybe a pull up midi. And then if he misses that, it's going to be shot fake into pass. Like, he's effective when he has that confidence to, like, drive to the rim, to get contact, get fouls. And then that also leads to the three-point shot. And, like, I saw that in the Miami game, like, the Grady Dick from, like, last year that was, like, making all these improvements.
Yeah, I mean, for all my consternations over the years of Grady and his effectiveness as an offensive player and his severe ineffectiveness as a defensive player, like, I do see the vision, right? Like, and I understand. He does the things that, like, a movement shooter should be doing.
Right.
And he makes the plays. Like, his shot diet is not, like,
bad.
It's not bad. Like, he doesn't make bad offensive decisions. They just don't fall. Right. And so my Christmas wish for him is to just become the shooter that was promised. Mm. Like, I'm not even talking about, like, shooting 45%.
Right.
I'm talking about he's shooting, like, 32%.
Right, shoot 36, 37, 38.
Yeah, like, be at least an above-league average shooter. Because that is clearly the skill that you have built your game around. And if you can't do it, you can't do anything.
Right.
So, and if he can shoot, that's a good enough skill. And he does, as I said, like, he knows the spots to go to. And he, like, loves motion off the ball, which is a great thing for a shooter like him. And he's got real size, so it's hard for him to, like, be blocked or to, like, see hands in space.
True.
So just start hitting them. Just start knocking them down, Grady. I know you have it in you.
Yeah.
I believe.
Green beans.
Mm-hmm. And now it's my turn.
Yeah.
For Mamu, mine is build the statue of you out front of Scotiabank Arena as fast as possible. No, I'm kidding. It's stop the slide on three-pointers. He's shooting 37% right now, which if he finishes the season at that is great. Perfectly fine. Back up center, stretch the floor, 37% is good. But that's 37% from, like, where he was with, like, 45, 44, like, earlier. Stop the slide now. You don't need to get back above 40. That's fine. You weren't expected to be a lights-out knockdown shooter. But if it starts to get into the 35, 34% range, like, we need to have a real conversation about how many minutes we can play you.
And it is funny that we're saying all these players, like, we'd love if them could shoot. That might just say, like, something about our team overall.
Yeah. And, like, I wish these guys could shoot and get healthy is what everyone says about every player on their team. Like, it's
I wish these guys would win championships.
Yeah, I wish these guys were good. Like, it's I get it, but it needs to be at least at where it's at right now. For Mamu. It needs to be at the 37%.
And especially because it was, like, 40s for a while. So, like, obviously him dropping to 37 means he's going below it. And I was looking at his last few games, and they're actually not bad. Like, I think
yeah, he's starting to level back out.
Yeah,
But there's a stretch there between him and Shed where they were missing shots, and like it was like, oh fuck,
yeah, they like, were our bench like our darlings.
So bad.
They were like Raptors darlings, and then yeah, yep, 100%. They had a really bad stretch. All right, I'm really glad that the way this list worked out, because your list is going to be way longer than mine, because this last one's all one list. Jacoby, Abaji, Jameson, and CMB. One of you, give Darko a reason to play you. Like, it's so easy for Darko to just not play one of those guys, and, like, nobody really cares. Like, it doesn't really, like, I don't know. Like, yes, when Dick was losing his spot, like, Agbaji was getting, like, some minutes and stuff. But, like, it felt like it was really easy for Darko to just, like, take him out of the game when it, like, isn't going well, and then just throw Grady back in or, like, throw in a different lineup. Like, I need one of them. I want Santa to give one of them, like, a standing out quality. And it's like, okay, no, this guy needs to be in our rotation. And none of them, like, say that to me right now.
Maybe it's just a potential thing, but I think it's a little bit disrespectful to put CMB in that class. I think of those guys, at least. He's the only one who, like, shows me.
Because, like, his defense is so good?
His defense is so good, and his offensive rebounding is a skill that legit, like, I watch it in games, and I'm like, if you never progress any more in this skill, you will make lineups better just through doing this. He is a great offensive rebounder.
Yeah, unless it ends with rebounding, you're never going to talk about anything offensive with him.
No, of course not. Of course not. The offense is bad, but, I mean, we'll get it. No.
It's like Stephen A. He doesn't have a post move that he's set to memory.
No, he is a smart passer, though, which doesn't really matter because, like, nobody actually defends him. But, like, and he shoots, like, 40% from three, but he just doesn't take them, which is crazy. Whenever you look at them, it's like, why is he not taking more? But whatever.
Yeah, I saw that.
He just won't, I guess. Yeah, here's what mine are for... How many guys did you name there?
Four. Walter, Agbaji. Actually, I don't know if you have Jameson Battle. He wasn't on the list of players you said. But no. I did Walter, Agbaji, Battle, and
CMB. I can come up with something for Battle. Okay. We'll start. I'll go from who I'm the most optimistic about to the least optimistic about of these guys. We'll start with CMB. It's so funny. Mine is get more minutes from Darko.
It's very similar.
I just think... But, like, it's not in the same way. Like, I want Darko to play more minutes now.
So yours is a wish to Darko.
I just think there's enough there, and, like, there's enough minutes at play that, like, he needs more reps. And he
you would tell Darko he needs to play more?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it isn't like mine. Yeah, mine is, like, I can see why Darko doesn't play.
Yeah, like, he's clearly too... He's not Jonathan Mogbo. He's clearly too good to be in the G League. So, right. Like, it's not like I send him down, you can get minutes there. I think you just got to run him in more lineups. You got to figure out more ways to use him. It feels like on the offensive end, and, like... Maybe it's as simple as, like, when you get those offensive rebounds, like, I don't care if you get your shit blocked, go right the fuck back up with that and right through contact. Just be just be a big dude, man. Like, and maybe it's like, because it's not like he misses shots. So, like, just take some, figure something out. And, I feel like the fact that his minutes have been kind of yanked around, it feels like some games Darko's like, you're going to be important in what we do. And some games it's like, ooh, your 4 minutes weren't that good. Sorry, buddy, it's pines the rest of the game. I think if the coach has some faith in him, then maybe he'll try and out some more stuff and experiment in some things. I love CMB. I think I'm the highest on him as I have been on, like, a Raptors prospect and Scotty Barnes. Wow. At least for, like, a rookie. But I was not super high on Grady Dick because he's really the only guy who you could... nobody last year was like, Jacoby Walter, I'm feeling really good. And even, like, Jamal Shedd, like...
Right. It's always for a second round pick.
Yeah. Like Jamal Shedd, it feels like the peak of what he could be is, like, a really good backup point guard. When it feels like it, obviously the peak on anybody is like MVP or whatever, but it feels like the realistic peak on Jamal Shedd is a really good backup point guard. And with CMB, it's like, I don't know.
I think he's only like 20 also.
Yeah, could he be like he has a more clear path to being a starter than Jamal Shedd.
Well, because you can't teach size, number one.
Yeah, and I also just think he's a better defender, and I think that's both of their best skills.
100% he's a better defender. He's definitely a better defender. Shedd's the better offensive player.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the better offensive player than fucking CMB right now. You know? Yeah. Next, we'll go to Jacoby Walter, which it's so funny. I'm asking for this for Christmas. I kind of lost the plot because this is going to take, but put on some weight. Maybe it is good for Christmas. You know, maybe you should get the Christmas dinner. Because, like, I like his 3-point shooting and I like his 1-on-1 defense, but it feels like this team doesn't need a 1-2. This team needs a 2-3, you know? And, like, he's long. And he's, like, kind of, you know, like, two is for sure his position. But, like, we don't need another guy who's a guard. We need a wing.
Yeah.
And, like, if he doesn't put on some weight and stop being so wiry where he can kind of get punished by small forwards, then, like, it's kind of hard to think, like, he's not – it would take a bit for him to get above Shed in the pecking order. And then, like, with Quickly and, like, Barrett, like, we got a lot of guard play already going on. And, like, Scotty's going to run some, like, guard
Scotty play. Well, Scotty and Brandon
hit the ball a lot. And so, like, you need he needs to put on weight to be more effective and to just fit this team better. But, once again, I kind of like what he's doing. Now on to the bums. Ocha Igbaji, my Christmas wish for you is to get the fuck out of my city.
Damn.
No, it's actually to return to your corner three standard of last year, where he was a good corner three-point shooter last year. Do you know he shoots from three this year? Did you look it up?
I don't think I looked up his stats.
I want you to guess.
Is it in the 20s?
Lower.
Oh, what?
It's 13% from three for Ochai Agbaji.
What the hell? When I asked him in the 20s, I was going to think, if you said yes, I would have said like 28.
He is absolute dog shit at basketball. And like, it makes no sense. Last year, he was okay. It's not like it's a guy who we like drafted a couple years ago and he's kind of been bad. It's not like he's Malachi Flynn. Where, like, there's been no year where you've looked, like, even I see part of your game that I'm like, oh, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Last year, Ochai Agbaji was, like, he was fine on the defensive end, and he hit corner threes at a pretty good rate. And it's like, I'm asking for this for Christmas, right? Like, you're not going to become a better ball handler by the end of the year. You're not going to become a leaps and bounds better defender. You're not going to become a better playmaker. But you know what you can do is start knocking down those corner threes that you took last year. And, I mean, I just think at this point, it's like, I just have a hard time seeing him getting consistent minutes.
Right.
And that's going to be bad for his confidence with shooting threes. I think it's over. I saw a report today that somebody was like, Agbaji in a second for Nick Richards, and like Suns fans are like, this is a fleecing, Nick Richards sucks. Do you know how bad Ochai Agbaji is? Also, like, a second, like, I would take that trade easily because, like, second round picks, bro, like,
whatever.
Like, actually, whatever. I don't care at all. Like, we got Jamal Shedd on a second round pick, and that's nice, but it's like, we could have gotten him undrafted. Like, second round picks are actually the most useless asset in the NBA. So it's like,
there's like five second round picks that have impacted championships.
Yeah, like, Jokic is like the best player in the league.
But Draymond the second round pick?
Yeah.
Jokic, Draymond, Ben Wallace.
But he's undrafted.
Oh, he's undrafted.
Yeah, he's undrafted. Not even. But because
Fred also undrafted. Yeah.
Like Suns fans were like fleecing. You're getting a second round pick in Ochai Agbaji, bro. Like, if we give you that for free, it wouldn't be a fleece.
Right.
Like, Ochai makes like over $6 million. And we're like a first apron team. Like, it would be great to trade him for somebody with a lower contract and to only have to attach a second to do that. Like, anyway, that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, you never even mentioned Josh Richardson.
Or Nick Richards. Fine. He's fine. I like the idea of having a third center because Pirtle is just not going to be able to play back-to-backs. So, like, having a good third-string center would be nice.
How old's Pirtle?
He probably isn't even 30. We drafted him in 2017.
It's so weird. Yeah, he just feels young.
Yeah.
But he looks old.
Yeah.
On the court.
Oh, it's the back, man.
True.
It's bad.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And the last guy we have is Jameson Battle. I didn't actually have something that I wanted for Christmas from him, but I guess I could make something up.
Uh-huh.
And for Jameson Battle, it's get more minutes than Ochai Agbaji.
That's the challenge.
A lot of these are to Darko. Like, the Ingram one was a Darko one. The Shed one was a Darko one. I like the way Darko's I've liked the way he's managed this team. I've had a love-hate relationship with him this year. But I just think, like, what has Agbaji shown that he's getting more minutes than Battle this year? Like, what possibly has he shown?
Right.
Like, Jacoby Walter, I get it. Because it's like, Jacoby Walter is going to defend the shooting guard position, and Battle's not. And if you're running like a bench lineup with like Grady Dick and Sandro Mamukelashvili, you're already just like giving up a lot.
Yeah, on the defensive
end. Yeah, on the defensive end. And like a lot that can't be covered up. Even as good as Scotty Barnes is, and as much as he feels like an octopus with his arm guarding every single guy and being able to block, he leads the league in stocks this year. But it's like you can't have four bad defenders with him, unfortunately. I don't know what Battle has to do to get like moved up in the pecking order, just from how bad some of the guys in front of them are. So you want to move to your general league? Do you have any final thoughts on anyone?
Well, a lot of yours are about Darko. He has certain guys he likes and certain guys he just doesn't like. Like, he was playing Malachi Flynn like so many more minutes. Like, we were making jokes for like, this guy must be dropping 50 in practice every game. Like,
yeah, and apparently he was. So he dropped 50 for the Pistons.
Right. And yeah, so like some of those, but I met Darko and he was so nice to me that like, I'm not going to criticize Darko.
No, I like Darko and I like his positive energy. I know.
Yeah.
This is a complete tangent off of like just like the scope of this podcast, but people who hate on people just for being like happy and being positive, especially in the realm of sports, go fuck yourself, man.
Right.
Because like people are just happy. Like, just because he's happy and he gets hyped when his team wins doesn't mean that he's not putting in the work and crunching film and coding. You think that just because he's happy-go-lucky, he's like, oh, whatever, if we lose, it's fine. We lucked
into another one.
No, man. Like, I don't know. It takes all kinds, and there's all different kinds of coaches. And just because you're, like, a surly, grumpy guy doesn't mean that you can't be a good coach either. Mm-hmm. Like, and, like, different teams need different kind of coaches.
Where was Darko before? Was he in OKC?
Memphis is a backup. He was in OKC at some point. He was in Memphis when they were good.
He's been around.
Yeah, he's been around some good teams. And I don't know. I hate when people like, especially like when he comes into the locker room and he's shouting and he's running around. That's dope.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Why are people like, oh, this is so stupid? Right. Shut up, cringe. Man. Shut up.
Yeah,
that's what I have to say. If you don't like fun, I honestly just feel sorry for you. Yeah. It's just sad. Like, what enjoyment do you get in your life?
What do you want out of basketball?
Yeah. It's a freaking sport, man. Like, we're not.
They're playing a game children play.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to what we want for the league.
Okay. Both of mine are negative. But I'm going to do one that's so on the brain. I would wish from Santa that the refs please hold your whistle at the end of games.
Oh, I totally agree.
Houston Denver I was watching. Like, Houston straight up should have won that game, and then like Denver kind of smoked them because Houston like completely lost it, like that they like got called for fouls. But it's like, yes, there are sometimes technically a foul will happen, but like, if it's even close, just don't call it at the end of the game. Like, that is the worst feeling ever, to like feel like you've been robbed. If your star player misses a shot, whatever, you're sad about it. But it's like, there's nothing you can do. Like, you can tip your hat to the opponent. But it's like, when the refs, it just makes a bad mood for everyone. It like puts an asterisk on the win from the other team. Like, the losing team feels like it was undeserved. It just sucks. And like, yeah, I get the hard part is that NBA players are so sneaky that if you start allowing stuff, they're just going to get more and more physical at the end of the game, so where they're really fouling people. But, like, if it's obvious, call it. But, like, if it's at all close, please, please hold your whistle.
So, when the Cup final was on, I went to a bar with a couple of our buddies. Uh-huh. We watched it, and everyone was locked in. Everyone was like, this game is awesome. Like, this is fun. And this is a bunch of people who don't usually watch basketball.
Right.
And they're like, having a lot of fun watching it. And then it gets to the end of that game, and it's just the foul free throws. And they were all like, this sucks. This is why basketball sucks. And it's like,
yeah, you're right.
And like, people, how are you going to get people to enjoy the sport when the ends of games are just a fucking whistle,
reviews, whistles,
all that? It's what everyone complains about outside of basketball.
Right.
I don't mind it personally. I understand it. But like, the league is not trying to get me invested. I spend the money on NBA TV. Yeah. I spend money to go to games. I buy jerseys. Like, I'm going to spend the money no matter what.
Right.
Like, the league could be like, the league could come out and be like, we're going to nuke Gage's house, like, at the end of the season. And I'd be like, ugh. But do I really want to miss this Jazz Wizards game tonight? I'm not going to cancel my league pass. Like, you want to expand the game to people who don't watch it. And like, the end of the game is the most important part. There's so many people who watch sports and they'll just tune in right at the end when there's a close game. And when it's just whistles is all they see, which happens all the time.
Yeah, and people will be like, oh, like, there's 10 minutes left in the game, or so, like, we can go soon. It's like, no, that 10 minutes is going to take 40.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks for going the game. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm wholeheartedly agree with you. I'll co-sign on that, and so nice. Then you send it to Santa. My first thing that I want is I want OKC to play in more close games. Mm-hmm. It was really fun watching them against San Antonio. Win or lose, that would have been a really fun game. And, like, I watch a lot of basketball, and so I can't watch 30-point blowouts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to watch another game that's closer. Mm-hmm. Even though it's OKC, and they're a historical team, and, like, I enjoy watching them because I really like cheering against them in a way I haven't enjoyed cheering against teams since, like, the Durant Warriors.
Right.
I want to watch more of your games, but you got to stop blowing people out in the first three quarters and not even playing Shea 1 minute in the fourth. Like, you need.
And he's insane in the fourth.
Yeah, he's so good. He's like, he might win Clutch Player of the Year playing like the least clutch minutes of anybody who's up for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I need OKC in more close games. That's what I want for Christmas.
True. I was almost going to put on mine, like, I need a team to show me that they can threaten OKC, and that's to a similar vein. Like, they just look too good. It makes it a little boring. Like, I like parody, I think. I don't know. I haven't been in, like, super crazy dynasties. Like, obviously the Warriors were really good, but I like, got in, like, the tail end of it, like, when it was starting to, like, kind of fall apart. Mm. But yeah, to me, like, parody is just so much better. Like, I love not knowing who's going to win. And, like, right now, I would literally, like, bet OKC over other. Like, if someone was like, if any other team wins, I win the bet, I'm like, I'm down, take that. You're thinking about it.
I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to do that. We already have our win-loss over-under.
Right.
Which I'm going to tally up for the next podcast.
And, yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I think I have Boston, don't I?
You do have Boston.
Because you were kind of killing me at one point, because you had us and Detroit. Detroit is like the really
big one.
That might just win you. But I have OKC, because I had first pick.
So here's how the offseason, well, this is a complete tangent, but here's how the offseason went. So we're trying to figure out the third team in the East, which is kind of laughable now, like that, like Cleveland's so in pen that, like, we have to figure out who the third team is. And now Cleveland, like, it's bad. Anyway, and, like, at first I was like,
who's the second team?
I was like, I love Orlando. And then I was really high on Atlanta. And then you were like, I'm not sure about Atlanta. And then you kind of were, like, in on Atlanta. And then I kind of was like, are we sure Detroit's not going to be really good? And you're like, I don't think they're, like, in the same tier as them. And I was like, I don't know. Like, the continuity is a big deal. I know the roster doesn't pop, but, like, these guys, like, they just played a tough playoff series against one of the best teams in the East. And, like, I was like, okay, I think Detroit's going to be my pick. Is that,
and, like, they fixed their holes. Like, they've got some good, Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. It's like, how are they going to replace the 3-point shooting of the guy Beasley? And then Duncan Robinson looks great. Anyway. Yeah. That's all I have to say about that. Is that like, Detroit, me taking Detroit early was very congruent with my overall feeling of the East before the season.
Oh, that was a great pick. That's a great pick. So, yeah, tune in next time to hear the updates.
Yeah.
But this episode's not done.
Yeah, because we still have two more things to ask from Santa.
Yeah, we do. So, yours, so I went a general league one, and then you went a team specific. I also have a team specific one. I do not want to see Curry go out like this. Like, the Warriors do nothing but win, and I don't want to see them win another championship, to be honest. Like, I don't really like a lot of, like, I don't like what Draymond does to this team. But, like, Curry is still so good. Like, this honestly is the first year he's kind of fallen off, but, like, only from, like, his standards. Like, he's still amazing, amazing.
And he's been hurt. He's had a bunch of 40 pieces, some nice games. Like, he's still really fucking, he's still Steph Curry.
And the Warriors suck.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about it, like, when we were on the train to the NBA Cup game. But it's like, Jimmy Butler had a quote that's just like, yeah, I'm not the scorer I used to be anymore. It's like, you're making $60 million. What are you talking about? You can't score anymore. And, like, how is scoring the thing that falls off? Like, I can understand an older player, like, being a little worse on defense or, like, a little less engaged. Like, how does the scoring fall off, especially when you're playing with next to Steph Curry?
Also, like, how is Kuminga still on that roster?
Right.
Like, actually, how he doesn't get played, it's pretty obvious that, like, he has, like, a bad relationship with Kerr. He has a bad relationship with the front office. Sounds like some of the players like Kuminga, and so they're like, why isn't he getting played?
Yeah.
He's available to be traded as of, like, 3 days ago, whenever that came, like, the December 15th deadline.
Right.
He should have been off the roster the minute he was able to be off the roster. It's crazy. Were they not calling people around, like, being like, hey, like... I would give him up for nothing, just to wash my hands of that. Like, right. And also, how do the Warriors keep on just destroying their relationships with players?
Yeah,
their relationship with Durant is terrible, and their relationship with Klay is bad, and their relationship with Poole is terrible.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not saying Jonathan Kuminga is some superstar who needs to be treated well, but he would be, like, the worst treated player on, like, 29 teams in the league. Like, over the past 5 years, like, most teams do not treat players this poorly. We have
nobody that has that kind of relationship with
us. That we had, that, like, our front office did that. We have some players who, like, things didn't really go well, like, the Dragic's of the world. But, like, our coach didn't, like, oh, I'm not going to play him.
Yeah.
And, like, it wasn't like that. Like, well, he was gone pretty quickly. Once it was clear that he wasn't going to play games, and once it was clear that, like, Dragic, like, it wasn't really going to work out, he was gone almost immediately. Mm-hmm. How is Kuminga still on that team?
Yeah. And they drafted him. Like, they saw something, and then, they just gave up
on him. And he's not terrible. No. Like, I don't know. Whatever. They have their four rings.
It feels like they're fine. But, it feels like he's just going to go the way of, like, Kobe's last year's.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they might make the play-in this year. They might make it out of the play-in. And they might have a first-round series where they go up against Houston and they take him to six. And Curry has a big game, or Butler has a big game.
Right.
But, like, that's, like, the ceiling on this team is they're frisky and they beat one team. Like, let's say their playoff route is, like, Minnesota, Los Angeles, OKC. And that feels kind of easy, given the state of the West. Are they going to beat... like, both Minnesota and the Lakers?
No.
Maybe they get super lucky and they beat one of those teams. No way do they beat two. And if they go up against OKC, they might lose in three. The first team ever to just give up on the last game in a series because they're so dog shit. So my last wish.
Uh-huh.
I'm writing out my note. Let's change around the letters a little bit. Dear Santa... Let's move. What happens if you move the N to the end of the word if you're writing to Santa? Wait, dear Satan.
Oh, Satan, yeah.
This is a love for me, and this is an evil, despicable love. I don't care how evil it is. I love it. I want the Clippers situation to get even worse. I want it to be an even bigger mess. I want more players. You want to talk about a player getting fucked over by an organization? The story came out about Chris Paul, and it's like, oh my God.
Bro, yeah, that happened between the last
episode. And they've been terrible, and like... Harden's playing well and they've still been bad.
And Kawhi's playing games.
Playing well and they've been bad. And Beal's out for the whole year after just a couple of games. Oh, I love it, man. I freaking love it. If you guys could see the smile on my face, I hope it comes through in the way I'm talking about them. I want it to get even worse. I want a Kawhi. I want his knee to fucking exit his body. I want James Harden to ask out again. I want Brooke Lopez to retire mid-season. Once a player's off the team, I hope all the best for them. You don't want to wish injuries, and you don't want to wish bad times on any players. I hope every player on that team dies in a plane crash. I love this. After hearing that their owner was a cheating, scamming scum lord in the offseason, there is Anthony... I don't know if there's ever been better proof that there's basketball gods.
True. And with
Christmas coming up, basketball Jesus' birthday, thank you for what you've done to the Clippers this year, and more, please. Like, at Christmas dinner, I'm taking my belt, I'm taking it one loop down, and I'm grabbing a second plate. More, please. Can I get some dessert as well? Extra gravy on top? Let's see how much worse it can get for the Clippers.
Were you hoping I said that I want the Clippers to turn around?
I knew you wouldn't say that. I know you like the Clippers, but I think you're at the point where, like you've given up.
Yeah. I think Krampus is who you, the letters
are. Oh, is it? That's the evil Santa. Okay, I'm locked in. That's my rant. Clip that's that. I'm in.
That's, and you know what that reminds me of? That is, they're fixing it now, which is brand new news, just came out today. But that is why the Timberwolves have always been disappointing. Like, for those listening, do you know that Kevin Garnett, the greatest Timberwolf of all time, hands it out, like, who almost bought the team, like, was in talks to do that, who went to Boston, won championships, then came back to Minnesota because he wanted to finish career there?
With a little bit of Brooklyn in between. Continue.
He got traded to Brooklyn. Yeah. That's not his fault. His jersey wasn't retired.
Like, it's insane. Like, we retired Vince Carter's jersey, right, and he hated us.
Right. He demanded a trade.
Yeah. It's despicable, mm-hmm, that Garnett wasn't retired before, and it's one of the most feel-good stories.
Yes.
Not only is he getting the jersey retired, not only has he mended the bridges, but he's now an ambassador, and that means he's going to be at games, and that means he's going to be at events, and, like, you know who Kevin Garnett would fucking love is Anthony Edwards. Yeah. Like, they're going to be best friends. I can't wait to see content with the two of them. That's a happy story. That's a really happy story.
And yeah, the way Chris Paul was treated, which is fucked. Like, we should talk about that a little bit. Like,
it's bad.
Before, we were talking about, like, his retirement stuff, but, like, the Clippers dropped Chris Paul, a minimum contract player that, mm-hmm, they have no intention to replace. Maybe the greatest Clipper of all time. Bob McAdoo is an MVP, so, you know, yeah, he probably is the best.
Yeah, but, modern era. Maybe Blake Griffin, but honestly, like, how many of his points came from Chris Paul directly?
Right, exactly. yeah, right. It's like Stockton Malone.
Yeah.
And, like, for them to, like, just throw him to the wayside in what's clearly his last year, there's been so much Clippers, like, advertising about the season on, like, this is his last year. Like, they show all his highlights as Clippers. And, like, yeah, like, you know, Chris Paul, like, I get that you guys are losing. Everything's kind of frustrating. It's like you're having a bad day, and then someone tells you something that's true, but, like, you don't want to hear. It's like, it's just going to piss you off, even though they're right. So, like, there's a time to play. But, it's Chris fucking Paul. Like, he is a legend to the Clippers. Like, he chose to come back there, of all teams, to, like, have his last year. And, like, it's not like you're paying him a lot of money. Like, he's not taking up a huge amount of contract. He was barely even playing games, and he was fine with it. Like, well, maybe internally he wasn't. Maybe that's why he ends up getting fired. But, like, it's not like big stories came out, like, that there was these huge fights. It was just him pointing out, like, what they need to do to be better. And, yeah, like, it's insane that they dropped him. It is terrible, terrible basketball karma.
I feel like I'm, like, Emperor Palpatine, and you're Anakin Skywalker, because you were always, like, I've been a hater of the Clippers since the Ballmer thing came out, and you were like, no, I still like the Clippers. Yeah. Like, I hope it just gets swept under the rug, no big deal.
Right.
And now you're like, oh, fuck this organization. They're evil. Yeah. They don't treat players well. It's basketball karma. The thing is, for the Clippers, they've always been a joke of an organization, and then Chris Paul and Blake Griffin made them not a joke. For a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know what they are again now? It's a fucking joke again.
Right.
Congrats. You're back where you were 15 years ago. You had to move to your own arena outside of the Staples Center. Right. Or it's crypto.com. The Crypt. Yeah. And now you're a joke again. And no one cares. And people only care to laugh at you is all that they care about. And, like, first of all, for Chris Paul, do you see the story that he had a Halloween party and, like, none of the other players went?
No.
He had a Halloween party for a bunch of people on the team and no one showed up. I don't, it's like, I know, like it's always sad to me anytime I hear a story of somebody throwing a party and no one shows up.
That's
and
so
like,
sad.
I know, it's Chris Paul, like, whatever. Like, he's like a celebrity. Fans, like, whatever, like, yeah.
Good
yeah. But it's like, when I read that, I was like, oh, Come on, that's man. Fucked up. Come on. Like, he threw a Halloween party for, like, a nice team, like, thing, and then, like, just a couple people showed up.
Right. Like, maybe, like, a rookie.
Also, the weird thing is, like, Kawhi apparently really liked him and liked having him on the team and is still in contact with him. It just shows you that Kawhi is not from the LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo school of having your, like, being Running the GM of the team. Yeah. Like, he doesn't give a fuck what happens to the other players. He's like, oh, he got traded. Well, I'll still be friends with him, but Apple time. Great.
Gotta go plant some trees.
Yeah. Gotta go plant some trees. Anyway, so... all the Raptors have to get goated is what we want for Christmas. Uh-huh. It's just all of the Raptors. If we could have 10 Michael Jordans, 2 LeBron Jameses.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. You know what? Like,
maybe a center too.
You know what? Yeah. 10. Like,
if you had a team that, like, you have Michael Jordan at the 1. Mm-hmm. No, LeBron at the 1. Mm-hmm. Jordan at the 2. Jordan at the 3. LeBron at the 4. Who would you have playing 5 in that lineup?
Oh, I'd probably have Sandro Mamukelashvili.
Merry Christmas.
Merry